Hey everyone, welcome back to That Plumbing Podcast. I'm Brandon the Plumber, and this week I'm the Mac again. And we're just going to go over why it's so awesome to be a plumber. All the pros, why you should consider being a plumber, how to get into plumbing, and we're just going to break it down for anyone that might be interested. We'll go ahead and just jump right in. Mac, how's it going today?
I'm doing great, Brandon. How are you doing?
Great. I saw you. You're still posting your videos on TikTok and YouTube, and I got to say, they're doing really well. I'm enjoying the voiceovers that you're doing. It's pretty good stuff.
The voiceovers, I've had to ease into it because it's definitely a little uncomfortable for me to do, but getting better at them each time, I feel.
That's all you can ask for. And I think you had said that you're getting a lot of feedback. You're a little more interaction with your viewers, right?
Absolutely. It's funny how much more interaction I get with the voiceovers. It puts a voice to the work that's being done. Closest thing to a face, but a voice for now. Maybe we'll get some other sort of videos going with me in them, actually.
Because I've seen you like in and out of the frame, but you're not like, I probably wouldn't recognize you if I ran into you.
Yeah, probably.
Is that just by design, or that's the way that it just made it easy to get into it? Or are you opposed to showing your face?
I don't think I am anymore. I think it was just something I, without even thinking, did at the beginning, just because, like I said in our previous podcast, I didn't even tell anyone that I started it. So if they happened to somehow run into the video, they wouldn't be able to know it was me and bring it up. And yeah, I'm over it. I don't care if people see my face or whatnot, though.
There is nothing to worry about, I don't think. But I still get being a little anxious. No one knows my face. I'm doing the podcast. I could be standing next to anyone and no one would ever know. All right, we're going to go ahead and we're going to talk about how it is to be a plumber. What are the pros of being a plumber? Because across all of my episodes on the podcast, the ones that talk about becoming a plumber, it has the most views. So there's definitely an audience out there for this. And like I said in the past, this is what I'm focused on, is educating the public and potential plumbers on what it's like to be a plumber. So I think I got about four of them, four different aspects that we can go over. And I think one is obviously the pay. That's one of the biggest draw to being a plumber, being as it's work. With work, it's dirty, it's tiring, it's a toll on your body, but the pay is definitely one of the biggest draws. And I'm sure you can speak to that, being a relatively new plumber yourself.
Absolutely. If I wasn't getting paid well for what I was doing, I would not be doing it. That's for sure. And yeah, every year, if you're doing what you should be doing, you should be seeing your income increase, given if you are on percentage, which most plumbers are. No work is fun necessarily for the most part, unless you get extremely lucky. So you might as well do something that maybe you enjoy most of the time and will pay you so you can support yourself and your family.
Absolutely. And I think plumbing is going to attract a certain type of person, because I think what we're looking for, or the people that kind of fit in the most, are people with families and people who really appreciate the pay that you can earn and provide for a family and live comfortably and not have to necessarily go paycheck to paycheck. I think that's a big draw. If people can just get through the apprenticeship and get into their own truck, which, like you said, what, in about 6 months you were in your own truck?
Yeah. In my case, was I totally ready to be in a truck? Not necessarily, but I've always said it, the best way to learn is to just be thrown into the fire and make a ton of phone calls to your supervisor or whoever your superior is to ask questions and stuff and kind of just learn on the job.
Yeah, definitely utilize those resources. And this podcast and your videos, those are resources that people can reach out to. I'm sure you wouldn't mind if someone had questions and reached out to you, right?
Absolutely not. That's my favorite part about doing the whole online thing, is when people genuinely ask questions that they have about it. And since last time we talked, I've been getting a ton of questions, mostly just about how do I even get into plumbing? And I guess, at least for me, it seems that most people that get into plumbing, it's because they know someone that's already in it and they don't really know what to do for work. So if you're not necessarily related to someone that's in the trade, or you don't know anyone that's in the trade, it would definitely be tough to know the proper steps, because when you're in a high school class, they don't go over that. They go over how to go to college, how to apply and all that good stuff. But I guess, yeah, this episode would be great for anyone that's trying to find a rough draft of how to even start to get into the trade if you have no resources.
A quick story. I don't think I've ever mentioned this, but I got into plumbing through a temp agency 10 years ago or whenever. Very long story short, I was doing temp work, just trying to get some money, get paid at the end of the day. And the company that I work for out there, they hired me to, through the temp agency, to dig a trench, jackhammer the floor. Like, first, I never touched a jackhammer in my life. And then I went in there and I guess I impressed them or something, because they asked me to stay on. After 30 days, they hired me on, and I went through, started going through my apprenticeship. Back out there, the union's a little bit stronger than here in Phoenix. And most of the time, union is new construction. The company I was in was one of the few companies that were service and in plumbing. And I just stuck with it. That's all you can do.
Absolutely. And just to touch on that point a little further, my dad's a plumber. I think I mentioned that last time. And the way he got his start is he was digging ditches for, I think it was $5 an hour back in his day. And he did that for about a year and a half. And he was so close to quitting until his foreman at the time, I guess, missed work a few times too many. And the boss man was like, all right, you know how to do this, right? And he said, absolutely. And that's, you just have to wait for your opportunity to get in there, but you really have to be prepared and make sure you're learning on the job.
When I came back out to Phoenix, I was basically riding with people. They hired me on. They were like, yeah, you'll get in a van. Just show us that you actually know what you're talking about, and we'll get you in a van 6 months or whatever. So I'm working at the company, and I guess a couple of months in, one of the other plumbers quit or got fired. I think he got fired. Whatever. He got fired, and he sent out a text to the group of plumbers asking, hey, blah, blah is not here. Can anyone pick up his shift, his on-call shift this weekend? And I said in the text, I could if I had a van. And it worked. They went ahead and they might have been doing it anyway, but it's just seizing that opportunity to get in there and just show them that you want to get out there.
Yeah, that's an awesome story, actually. That's great.
And then you got in because you knew your dad knew a plumber. I guess it depends on where you live, but you can go to probably pretty much any plumbing shop. And if you're serious, tell them you want to start off, and you probably won't have to search too much before you find someone willing to take in and teach you.
Oh, for sure. Every plumbing company needs a shop hand at least. And at least from people I've seen, that's how you get in, is you start off sorting the materials or doing whatever grunt work they need done that no one else really wants to do. And then they're like, hey, can you go out with this tech on this job to help them dig? Then you can watch them make a sewer repair or repair a water line or something like that. And that's just knowledge you're gaining. In this trade, there's no starting in the middle. You have to start right at the bottom like everyone else and work your way up.
Yeah, definitely. And we talk about good pay. Obviously, it depends on where you live, what your experience level is. But so once you get in your own van, let's say here in Phoenix, once you get in your own van, I'd say 65 to 70K is probably very doable on the low end. Yeah.
Definitely.
And then obviously you can go well over six figures. I think you had mentioned last time you knew some guys that were like 250,000, somewhere around there.
That's definitely on the high end, but it just goes to show that if you're doing this long term and you really know what you're doing and you're going to show up for work every day and work hard, you can definitely reach that. Now, is everyone going to? No, that's definitely probably the top 1%, I'd say. But if you really work hard at it, I don't see any reason why you couldn't get there eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those that don't know, plumbing is most of the time commission-based. They're now, like I said, big cities commission-based, smaller cities. Like when I lived in Louisiana, it was hourly. But for the most part, it's going to be commission out here. Certain percentage off the labor or certain percentage off top. It just depends on the company. It all ends up being about the same. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, I take out parts or mark up parts and then take those out, and then whatever labor's left over, I go off of that. But yeah, I've heard of plenty of companies just doing a higher or a lower percent off the whole job. So yeah, in the end, it pretty much equals out.
I've done both the labor and the off top, and I've done hourly with like little spiffs as well. So you got a good base pay, and then you'll get 20, 30 bucks if you sell them like an upgraded angle stop or something like that.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know, just to hang on the pay structure for a little bit longer. Me personally, commission drives me. As far as the hourly, makes me just lazy as hell.
Absolutely. Yeah. When I first was trying to get into it, after I had a base under me, I went and applied at a couple places, and some of them were like, we only do hourly. And I'm like, I don't get how that really makes sense. How am I going to want to complete more jobs in a day for you if I'm going to get paid the same at the end of the day? And also, when you're on commission, if you have a leak or you have a callback for any reason, you're the one that has to go do that for free. So that's an incentive right there to do it right the first time and do it as efficiently as possible.
There's nothing worse than going on a callback, knowing that you're not getting paid for it.
Definitely, yeah.
So just to put it in perspective, sometimes I have to pick up my daughter, drop my daughter off of school. If I get a good job, I can work half a day and make what I would normally make in a full day on an hourly job.
I know, definitely. And that's where it goes into, you choose how much you want to make in a day to an extent. Obviously, if there's close to the end of the day and there's not any calls pending or anything like that, you're just going to go home. But if you want to let your dispatchers know, hey, I'm willing to work all day, put whatever on me, you can make a ton in a day. Obviously, it's hard on the body a little bit and exhausting. But if you're in need of a couple extra $100 per day, that's definitely doable.
If you do the things like we talk about, give an option, slowing down, talking to the customer, all the things, give them that premium option and watch how many times they actually go with it. It's pretty surprising. So if you are got a family or you just want to better your life, have a higher standard of living, definitely consider plumbing for that or in the trades in general, service trade, anything skilled labor. Number two, job security. I would say that plumbing is a pretty secure career for now.
I couldn't agree more. There's a perfect example is the whole pandemic issue. So many people weren't allowed to work or they had to work from home. I don't know about you, but I just kept on working where I was at. Everyone needs plumbing done. That's absolutely essential. And if you ever move to a different state, there's plumbing companies in every state that's looking to hire. The statistics, I don't know if you've looked at them. I've looked over them a tiny bit, but the amount of plumbers retiring versus the amount of plumbers getting into the trade, it's totally lopsided in favor of people getting out of the trade and retiring. This is a perfect opportunity and time to get into the trades. And your income's only going to increase with how few plumbers there are out there.
We're about to be in the golden age. I think we're prepping for it, but this is just such the right time where supply and demand, circumstances, economy, skill, labor gaps, all the things are converging to just make service plumbing like just a really slept on career. And I absolutely got busier when the pandemic hit. There's no doubt about it. It's an essential job in the truest sense. AI might come along and help the office side or the marketing side or the business side, but AI is nowhere near coming out and changing ankle stops and water heaters just yet.
Absolutely.
Number three, I would say it's a job that matters. You can look at it both ways. You can look at it, oh, I'm just going in and clearing a drain line, or I'm just going in and changing a flapper, whatever it is. You're facilitating getting clean drinking water to a customer's house and removing the waste. That's what society and civilization is built on. It's definitely something that matters.
If you look at it through the customer's lens, they have an issue, say, just for an example, on their toilet. They might not have any idea what they're looking at. They might think, I just need to replace the toilet. I don't know what else to do. And then obviously that's an extreme example. I'm sure many people know how to work on a toilet for the most part, but a plumber can come in there and show them exactly how it's done and do a great job. And that makes their whole week. Like, they're stressed about it. What am I going to do? I can barely even pay my bills. Now I got this toilet issue. It's going to be expensive. And then you can go in there and show them it's no big deal.
I would say that customers they're fearful when something in their plumbing goes wrong and their life stops right in its tracks. If you can't flush a toilet or if you got a water leak, nothing else matters. Now the plumbing is what matters. And there's lots of things that they could be afraid of, especially if they never used a plumber. So you have that opportunity to be and actually be kind of a little like a hero to them. If you can come in there and provide a great service for them, a great experience, put them at ease, let them know, hey, I've done this before. It's no big deal. I'll get you taken care of. That's big for people who can't do plumbing, I would say.
Definitely. And especially if it's an emergency, like sewer's backed up, can't flush any toilets. They have a huge water leak. They don't know what to do. They don't know where their main is. Us showing up and being able to do that, that's a huge weight off their shoulders. And really, those emergencies are, I don't want to say what makes it worth it, but getting in there and fixing a huge issue for someone, it's a great feeling because they're happy. They aren't really concerned about the price at that point. They just want it fixed, and being able to get in there and fix it and know how to do it correctly and be able to explain to the customer what you did really puts them at ease.
So I had some car issues and my life's on hold. I can't pick up my daughter. I can't bring her to school. All of these fears come up, and I took my car to a mechanic, and it was really a very great experience. Like, he empathized with me. He listened to me. He listened to my concerns. He laid out the plans of what he was going to do, the diagnostics. And when it was all done and my car was working again, like, I felt so good and so grateful for this guy, the mechanics, to help me get my life back together.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's funny you say that. I actually had to get my brake pads replaced recently, which some people are probably listening to this. You can't do that yourself. What the heck? You're a plumber. You have tools. I don't know how to work on cars. I've never worked on cars in my life. So I always take it somewhere. Anyways, it was a great experience. It really reminded me of a service call. I get in there. I'm telling them what's going on. They're explaining what it could be and that they need to get in there and look at it. They come out, let me know what's going on. I'm like, perfect. Let's make the repair. And then after the repair's made, they just point out a few things, maintenance things that maybe next visit we should take care of. And it's just a great experience. It goes back to the service over sales. They're making me aware of potential issues. They're not pushing it on me or anything. They're just making me aware of it, and it puts it in my mind, and I'm a lot more likely to trust them after they just fixed my issue and go have those maintenance repairs done in the future.
I subscribe to some mechanic TikTokers because I still find it interesting. The whole idea of educating the customer and providing options, that's not just plumbing. That's taking off in all service industries, it seems like. That's the way it should be. People should be educating their customers and helping them come to a decision that fits their budget and their lifestyle.
For sure, yeah. And I feel like the real salesy part of plumbing specifically, and pretty much everything, like you were saying, is when there's a lack of work. Luckily, I mean, at my company, at least, I don't know about anyone else's company, but at my work, there's never a lack of work to be done. So all I really need to do is, like you said, inform them of things that are actually issues. I don't need to go out there and point out things that really aren't going to affect them anytime soon. I don't need to try to upsell them for something they really don't need at all and can't afford. You just have to make them aware, because there's always going to be that work that's there.
There's more than enough honest work out there. If you can just slow down and talk to the customer and diagnose the whole system, like we talk about. And so number four, autonomy. And I think this comes back to the fact that you are your own little business. Once you're in your own van, you're your own little business going out there and fixing stuff. There's no boss sitting next to you over your shoulder. God, I don't even think I could. If I had a boss that was like around me all the time looking at me, I don't think I could do it. What about you?
I totally agree. Yeah, it's really the perfect scenario for most people, because obviously some people their end goal is to start their own business, which is great. That's a great opportunity, especially now. But if you don't want to deal with all that, which it's a lot to deal with, just become a plumber. And like you were saying, you're your own boss, except you have backup. So there's usually a ton of parts at the shop. You have people in the office you can call to order parts for you, to pick up stuff, have stuff delivered. It's basically running your own business, except you have a ton of help on in the background with calling people, all that administrative stuff that you don't have to deal with.
Just pretend like it's your own van, your own business, and they just feed you calls. It could really be like that if you have the type of owners that don't micromanage, and my company certainly doesn't. And it's just like the little things. Like the other day I stopped and got some food wherever it was. And I was just like, it was a Friday. It was not slow, but I just had extra time. And I was like, okay, I'm going to stop in and I'm going to eat somewhere. And that's a big thing that just, I don't know. I just love it that I can eat wherever I want, whenever I want. I don't need to ask anyone permission. It's just like it's a very good indicator of the freedom that you can have as a plumber.
Yeah. And it does tie into how much you want to make too. Cause I mean, you can do whatever you want during the day. If you want to make money, you can go run your calls and get through them. If you only want to do a couple calls, obviously this isn't every day or else you'll get fired. But if there's a day you're just not really feeling it, you'll do the calls that were scheduled for that day and then take off the rest of the day if you need time. You don't have to really worry about it too much, especially if you're on commission, because if you're not making money, the company doesn't have to pay you anything. And I'm sure there's other plumbers that'll want to take it. So yeah. And like you said, go to lunch. You can, if you're in a friend's neighborhood or something, you'd stop in there and say hi. It just feels really freeing not having a boss over your shoulder, like you said.
I take it for granted some days, but I hear people will say something like, oh, the boss is on my ass, or just make a comment about management. And man, I just do not have to worry about that.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more.
That's the big ones. That's the top four. But let's put away the list. Let's stop being all professional. And let me just ask you, what would you say to someone thinking about getting in the field?
I'd probably first ask, why do you want to? And I'd be sure they'd say, I like working with my hands. I want to make good money, which are the best two reasons I can imagine. It's not like we're going out there plumbing because we're totally in love with it. It is a job. It's hard work, but there's definitely satisfying parts of it and rewarding parts of it with customers. Back to your question, though, I would probably tell them, all right, have you contacted any companies? See if they need a shop hand or if they need anyone to dig trenches, any day labor help, anything like that. And most times you can just let them know, yeah, I do want to, you know, in the end, be a plumber. But I understand I have to start somewhere. I have to learn some stuff. So you really just need to reach out to plumbing, at least in Arizona, because it's not really structured. You can just get hired by anyone and start plumbing. So just reach out to companies, send whatever emails, send your resume in. You'll probably be starting in not the most glamorous situation. Probably be doing grunt work for actual techs. But that's how you start.
That digging and all, that's part of it. And climbing up in the attics and rerouting lines and pulling toilets and getting nasty stuff on you sometimes. That's part of why we get paid so well.
Yeah, no, it's actually funny thinking back, because when I first started, I was digging a lot of ditches and getting in a lot of attics. And I was thinking, man, I can't do this. I'm getting paid $15 an hour. I can't do this forever. But now, fast forward 4 years in the future to now, when I hear I have a dig job or I have a job in the attic, which is typically a reroute, I'm so excited because I know I'm going to make a really good money that day.
Yeah. And you get to this point where do you got guys doing that work for you, or you're still doing it yourself some?
The way it works with my company, at least, we can have a helper is what it's called. And you just mark off $40 per hour for them. So in terms of pay, you'd obviously take the parts out and then say he's there helping you for 3 hours, mostly digging. You'll take $40 per hour out, which is really nothing, because if it's a manual labor job, it's going to be at least $2,000 to $3,000, I would imagine, for say a sewer repair or something like that. So yeah, you can have someone there helping you and just pay them $60, $80, and it's really no sweat off your shoulder. And in terms of that helper that's there, he's there learning with you. So it's a win for everyone.
When I've had helpers in the past, I'm with a shovel with them in the trench. I'm not the type of one to just send them the dig and I'm going to go on my phone in the car.
And the thing that's funny is I didn't realize until I started plumbing that I did not know how to dig. I thought there was only one way to do it, but I was so far off. So even learning how to dig took me at least 2 or 3 digs to really get it. And for anyone thinking, what do you mean you didn't know how to dig? Just go dig a ditch for a tech and you'll hear 100 things you're doing wrong.
Yeah, there's definitely a technique to it, especially if you're tag teaming it. There's a rhythm you can get in. You break up the dirt, I shovel the dirt out. Yeah, digging's digging, but it's also, there's a right way and wrong way to do it, or less efficient way, I should say.
For any people trying to get into the trade or new techs that just recently got in a van, I would just say, put your nose down and really get after it. Like, there's going to be times where you're really going to want to quit and you're going to think you're not cut out for it, but you just got to push past that. And then, at least for me, after a year or so, everything just started to click. Like, I didn't know everything by any means, not even close, but it is a full system. Everything works together. So once you get that outline of the plumbing system down, it's way easier to learn every individual repair that you have to make. So just put your nose down, keep going. Don't quit. And if you're going to quit, this is something I can't even remember where I heard it. It might have been off TikTok, how, as embarrassing as that is. But it said, if you're going to quit on a good day, because if you're going to quit on a bad day, that's a horrible sample size. You're going to have good days and bad days. So you just got to push through. And once you really start making that good money and you're feeling comfortable going into any situation, at least for me, I love it, because there's always an answer for everything. You're going to be able to make the repair, whether the customer agrees to it or not. That's really where plumbing is very enjoyable.
I would say don't do it because you think that the money is going to make you happy. It's coming up with a vision of what your life could be like if you were making decent money, not having to worry about bills, eating wherever you want. Like, it's about, I really think it comes down to guys with families where this is really going to be the benefit for them. And just having that job security and then having the good pay. It's really a good selling point for guys that just, I think that's lost these days. And I think this job can really help people achieve that lifestyle if they want it.
That's a huge deal to me, at least. Obviously, I'm sure some people will disagree, but letting my wife stay home with our son while I'm out working, that maybe it's selfish, but it makes me feel amazing. And I'm sure my wife appreciates it. But yeah, I'm a more traditional guy too in that sense. And another kind of random point that's great about plumbing. Yeah, you can eat out wherever you want, but you also said it, politically correctness. Not that we're being stupid or anything, but you can mess around with your friends and you can talk crap to each other and you don't have to worry about HR coming, knocking on your door, asking what's going on. You can be yourself and have fun. No one's going to get after you for being yourself.
That's a good point. If you're someone who doesn't get along or doesn't agree with the politically correct stuff and all the craziness that's going on in the world, I think plumbing is a good career where you don't really necessarily have to deal with that. When you're talking to the dispatchers and the people in the office. All right, so there you have it. Those are the four main selling points on being a service plumber. You got the pay. The pay can be really good, especially once you get in your own van. Six figures plus. Especially with the way supply and demand are going, it's going to be easier and easier to make over six figures. Job security, COVID, me and Mac, we got busier. It's just, you always have to have plumbers. There's always plumbing, no matter what city you go into, no matter what business, every person is a potential customer. And it's something that matters. It's something that you're doing that actually makes a difference in the world. It's important. People need plumbing. Civilization hinges on plumbing, if you think about it. And we're there on the front lines providing life essential services to people. And the autonomy. That's probably the closest you can get to owning your own business without owning your own business, in my opinion. There's no boss breathing down your neck. There might not be. There shouldn't be, especially when you're only one in the van. You can set your own pace. You can stop and get lunch. You can really just be yourself out there. And I think that those are the big ones. Mac, anything to add?
Yeah, I'd say those are the four big ones in my opinion. I'm sure there's, you know, 100 little things that I'll think of after we get off this call, but the pay is great. Going to be able to support any family you have.
Yeah, go out there. The opportunity's there. I actually found a couple jobs off of Craigslist. There's still a lot of plumbing jobs being posted on Craigslist. If you are in the Phoenix area, please reach out to me, Brandon@thatplumbingpodcast.com. I know a couple of companies that will take people on with no experience and train them if they're the right person. One company I recommend people to, they actually will teach you HVAC and plumbing and electrical. So definitely shoot me an email if that's something you're interested in. Mac, is your company looking for people who are willing to learn?
Absolutely. We definitely are. And we have a full HVAC training center in-house in our shop. So if you're looking especially to get into HVAC, we do all of our training in-house and we pay very well. And we're trying to train you to work for us long-term. And I'm sure there's plenty of companies out there like that too. So you just have to take that jump and just reach out, shoot some emails. The worst that can happen is they don't get back to you.
Someone will, especially in Phoenix when it comes to HVAC. If you're willing to put in the work, the sky's the limit. All right, Max, where can people reach you?
You guys can reach me. My handle is @PlumAZ on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. Shoot me a DM, comment on my videos. I'm pretty good at returning all the DMs and comments. So yeah, if you have any questions, just hit me up and I'll get back to you.
And I'm Brandon@thatplumbingpodcast.com. Shoot me an email coaching if you want to be a guest or if you just have some questions, looking for a job, I'm here to help. We'll be getting YouTube started soon so we can get some interaction because I see all you guys there. I see y'all listening, but we can't connect. We can't engage. And that's one of the main reasons why I started doing this is to engage with other plumbers and to create a community. So that is definitely on the list. But as for now, Mac, thank you for being on. It's always a pleasure.
Appreciate it, Brandon.
All right, bye.
That's it.